Welcome back to the OU Daily Global Tehillim and Chizuk phone call. This is Naftali Herman of the Orthodox Union. As always, it is great to be back with each and every one of you. Thank you so much for joining today's program and for making it a part of your day on Yom Shishi, Erev Shabbat Kodesh, Parshas Chukat, the eighth day of the month of Tammuz. Thank you to our incredible and generous sponsors for their continued support, in particular the Schwartz family, and whose names are prominently listed in the OU Daily email. To sponsor future programs, and we greatly appreciate your support, please visit ou.org/call. That's ou.org/call. And please note the deadline to submit a sponsorship for Monday's program is today at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. As we've mentioned in the past, all of the calls, I think short of perhaps a few days earlier this week, are archived. They can all be accessed either via the email, there's a link, or you can go to ou.org/Tehillim. That's ou.org/Tehillim, Tehillim. And all of the calls going back to March 13th, 2020 should be up there, except for probably a few this week. We are updating it on a weekly basis, sometimes even more frequently. On behalf of the OU, it is my esteemed honor to welcome back to the Daily Call and introduce Rabbi Adam Freiberg of the Young Israel of Hollywood in Hollywood, Florida, to share Dibur Chizuk, which will be immediately followed by Rabbi Freiberg slowly reciting our daily four chapters of Tehillim, Parak Chaf, Chaf Gimel, Kuf Chaf Aleph, and Kuf Lamed. Those are chapters 20, 23, 121, and 130. And it will be followed, as always, by the Mishaverach, Lecholim, and Achenu. Please stay tuned afterwards for information regarding Monday's speaker, the Chavod, with great honor, Rabbi Freiberg.
Thank you so much, Naftali, for including me in this wonderful project again. Wonderful to be back with everyone here. And I'm very thankful to Kadosh Baruch Hu, as we'll speak about, as well as the OU, for allowing me to continue to share words of inspiration, and very happy to come to you and join you, as thank God the situation in the world is much better than the last time I was able to be on this call. We know this week's Parsha, Parsha Chuka, the Torah commands us, well, the Torah commands us generally, not specifically in this week's Parsha, but we know there's a commandment of not to place a stumbling block before the blind. And the Rambam Maimonides interprets this to mean that you cannot cause someone else to sin. We can't do anything that would, God forbid, lead someone else to falter in the spiritual sense, as well as the obvious physical pasuk of not to place a stumbling block before a blind person. The Rambam says additionally it means to not cause someone else to sin. And if we're asked to follow this biblical injunction, why shouldn't we hold God to the same standard? Rather brazen question, but I think a fair one nonetheless. I ask this question reflection on God's seemingly unfair request of Moshe. In our Parsha, Moshe makes a critical mistake, one many of us are familiar with. Moshe goes ahead and hits the rock instead of speaking to it, as he attempts, but unfortunately deviates from God's advice as to how specifically to provide water for his thirsty nation. But why did Moshe have his staff with him in the first place? And if you'd like to tell me, perhaps he just carried it with him at all times, he didn't want to trip. If you look carefully in the Psukim in the Torah, you see that the verse says that God explicitly commands Moshe to take his staff with him to the rock. The very item that with which Moshe will sin and thereby prevent him from entering the land of Israel. Isn't that an example of God putting a stumbling block before the blind? Of God setting up a scenario where Moshe might falter? So why would God ask Moshe to take his stick with him? And I think to fully appreciate, to answer that question, we have to appreciate what the staff represents and why it's crucial for Moshe to bring it along. Rabbi Yitzhak Twersky points out that we have to understand the political environment within which this episode occurs. The context. Korach's rebellion is fresh on everyone's mind, and we remember that his faction's rallying cry was, "Why do you," referring to Moshe and Aaron, "exalt yourselves over the congregation of God?" And Moshe responded to that by creating multiple tests whereby God will prove that Moshe has been chosen to lead. But more importantly, tests that make it crystal clear that it is God who is running the show, and Moshe is just his humble servant. Unfortunately, despite multiple clear signs that Moshe is strictly carrying out the divine will, as we see from the episode with the fire pans, as well as the earth swallowing up Korach and his whole congregation, the nation, the Jewish people, struggle to grasp this concept. Not only do they continue to complain, but in fact they blame Moshe for the death of their kinsmen, saying, "You have killed the people of God." A brazen statement, missing the entire point of the episode of the test. And this is in fact their tragic flaw. The nation's inability to differentiate between God, between Hashem, and between God's messengers. And this issue perhaps can be blamed for the terrible sin of the golden calf. After Moshe failed to return precisely on schedule, the people requested that Aaron, his brother, create a new God for them, as they truly believed that their God had been lost. The verse says, Moshe who brought us up from the land of Egypt, right? Not God who brought us up from the land of Egypt. They think that Moshe is running the show. They almost believed that Moshe was their deity, as opposed to just a leader appointed by God. So with all this in mind, perhaps now we can truly appreciate the scene that God has commanded Moshe and Aaron to create. Moshe is asked to provide water to the thirsty nation, only and specifically using his speech, an attempt to clearly demonstrate that Hashem is running the show, and his messengers, Moshe and Aaron, are just God's spokesmen. And that is precisely why Moshe must bring his staff, for that is precisely what the staff represents. From the moment we're introduced to Moshe's staff, way back when he's run away from Egypt and shepherding sheep, remember that argument? Moshe argues with God that he can't lead the people since the Jewish people won't believe him. He's just a shepherd. To which God responds by showing him how to turn his staff into a snake and back into a wooden stick. The staff is continuously used as a sign that Moshe is a divinely appointed leader, and therefore, obviously, to us, but not to his people, unfortunately, that Moshe is not a deity himself. This idea is made clearer by the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, the third chapter, the eighth Mishnah, that describes the staff being used during the war with Amalek. When Moshe's hands, which are holding the staff, are raised, the nation is victorious. But when his hands are down, so their ability to fight is also taken away. The Mishnah says, did the hands of Moshe make or break the battle? Is it Moshe himself who has this magical, almost godlike power? No. Rather, it means that whenever Bnei Israel looked up to God, they were victorious. And if they did not look up to God for help, they fell in battle. This is the same reason that staring at Moshe's staff in the next chapter of the Chumash, this time with a copper snake attached to it, provides healing for the nation. Moshe's staff, in conjunction with his lack of action at the Meh Merivah, at this episode in our Parsha, were supposed to provide this crucial message that Moshe is Hashem's messenger. Moshe is not, God forbid, Hashem. He's not a deity himself. And this message is more important than ever at this point in the Torah, a junction where the nation viewed Moshe as more than just a leader, but almost as a god. And yet the plan failed. But perhaps even worse than striking the rock, it's the line that Moshe and Aaron say. The Torah tells us in the 20th chapter, the 10th verse, the Pasuk says, "Shall we bring forth for you water from this rock?" And shall we bring forth water for you from this rock? Directing the attention away from God as orchestrator of the universe, and unfortunately, playing in to the narrative of the nation directing the attention on themselves. Shall we bring forth water from this rock? And failing to change this theological problem is the issue that made this mistake so fundamental and why it cost Moshe and Aaron so much the chance to enter the land of Israel. I think that like the Jews in the desert, we too, though perhaps a little differently, often fall prey to putting too much emphasis on God's messengers and not enough emphasis on God. If we're dealing with a health crisis, as unfortunately we've been dealing with for a year plus, it's easy to rely exclusively on the doctors who provide life-saving heroic work and the researchers and developers of this wonderful vaccine. If we're dealing with a war or a conflict in Israel or here in our own country, God forbid, it's easy to rely solely on our brave and heroic Israeli soldiers or our security teams and police officers. And while we can, God forbid, never minimize the contributions of these modern-day heroes, we must simultaneously not cut God out of the picture. I know, speaking personally, it's easy to grow tired of reciting Tehillim daily. And it's a real tribute to everyone on this call that while we obviously support, encourage, and thank those people who help us and support us physically, whether it's doctors, whether it's soldiers, whether it's security forces, or whatever your personal situation is, whoever the experts are in that situation who are helping you, we can never forget to acknowledge, thank, and continue to ask Kadosh Baruch Hu, can you ask God to watch over us, to bless us, our families, and the entire Jewish people. We must maintain our spiritual approach with prayer while obviously simultaneously attacking the problem from a physical approach in the appropriate way. So with that, I invite you to join me in reciting the daily chapters of Tehillim. As Naftali said, we'll say chapter 20, followed by chapter 23, then 121, and 130. Perek Chaf, chapter 20. L'menatech mizmor l'David. Ya'ancha Adonai b'yom tzara, yisagevcha Shem Elohei Yaakov. Yishlach ezrecha mikodesh mitzion yisadecha, yizkor kol min chosecha, ולעשך יד השם הסלע. ייתן לך כבבך וכועתך ימלא, נרוננה בישוע שך, ושם אלוהינו נדגור, ימלא אדוני כל מי שעל עשך. אתה ידעתי, כי הושיע אדוני משיחו, יהנהו משמי קודשו, בגבורוס ישע ימינו. אלה ורחה ואלה וסוסים, ואנחנו בשם אדוני אלוהינו נזכיר. המה קרו ונפלו, ואנחנו קמנו ונסודד, אדוני הושיע, המלך יעננו ויום קרנו. Continue with Perek Chaf Gimel, chapter 23. מזמור לדוד, אדוני רואי רוא אכזר, בנוסדשו ירביצני על מי מנוחוס ינהלני, נפשי ישובב, ינחני במעגלי צדק למען שמו, גם כי אלך בגי צל מוות, לא אירא רע, כי אתה עמדי, שיפתך ומשנתך, המה ינחמוני, תערוך לפני שולחן נגד צהרי, תשנת ושמן ראשי, כוסי רוויה. אך טוב וחסד ירדפוני כל ימי חיי, ושבתי ובייס אדוני לאורך ימים. Continue with Perek Chaf Aleph, chapter 121. שיר למעלוס, עשה עיני אל ההרים, מעין יבוא עזרי. עזרים עם אדוני עושה שמיים וארץ, הייתם למות רגלך אינום שומך, הנה לא ינום ולא ישן שומע ישראל, אדוני שומרך, אדוני צילך על יד ימינך, יומם השמש לא יקקה וירח בלילה, אדוני ישמורך מקורא ישמור את נפשך, אדוני ישמור צאתך עבורך, מעתה ועד עולם. Finally, we conclude with Perek Kuf Lamed, chapter 130. Shema alos v'mamakim karasicha Adonai. Adonai shema b'kuli tiyena oznecha kashivos l'kol tachanunai. Im avonos tishmor ya Adonai mi ya'amod. Kimcha haslicha leman tivare. Kivisi Adonai kivsa nafshi lidvaro hochalti. Nafshi l'Adonai mishamrim l'boker, shamrim l'boker. יחל ישראל אל אדוני, כי אם אדוני החסד, והרבה עמו פדוס, והוא יפדה את ישראל מכל עוונותיו. Continue now with reciting Mishaberach. We pray together for anyone who's ill. We pray that they have a complete and speedy recovery. I'll pause for time to insert the name of anyone who's ill. Please insert the name and the names of anyone who needs healing at the pause. Mishaberach avoseinu Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov Moshe Aaron David Shlomo Hu yivarech v'yirapeh es בעבור שאנחנו מספעלים בעבורם. בזכר זה הקדוש ברוך הוא ימלא רחמים עליהם, רחמם רפוסם, Achzikam v'lahachayosam, ishlach lahem mehera fuwa shlema min ha-shamayim, ramach ever rav shasagidav, v'sachshar chole Yisrael, fuwa sa-nefesh, v'fuwa sa-guf, hashta ba'agira uzman kariv, v'nomar amen. Continue with Achenu, praying for all Jews around the world. They should only have good things, and a sweet, peaceful, and beautiful Shabbos. Achenu kol beis Yisrael, and as soon as it's out, Vishivya, Ha'om bin bain bayam, Uvain bayabasha, Ha'makom, Yerachem aleam, Yotriam, let me tell Ravacha, Ma'afela le'ura, Mishu'ud the Gula, Hashta Bagla, Zman Kariv, Nomar Amen. Thank you so much for the opportunity to share these words with you. Everyone should have a beautiful Shabbos.
Amen. Thank you so much, Rabbi Freiberg. We hope and pray that all of our collective efforts for safety, strength, and a refuah for all of those in need will be answered, a letova for good. Please join us again on Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time as we will hear words of inspiration from Rabbi Aaron Kraft of the Chicago Rabbinical Council. With hearts full of faith, stay strong, hopeful, and optimistic, wishing everyone a wonderful, healthy, meaningful, restful, and safe Shabbos. Shabbat Shalom.